It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can reach us at hashtag Giants Chat. Mr. Dottino, good morning. How you been?
Good morning, John. It's a combine day in Indianapolis. We're here in East Rutherford, but nonetheless, we are footballed up and ready to go.
How excited do you get about the combine? Is Paul Dottino going to be locked in to NFL Network on Saturday and Sunday trying to break down these young guys?
No, you know what, John? I really believe that more of what you see in your highlight reels of these guys, your cut-ups, and your bowl games and your all-star games is the basis for what you think about as a player. I'm not really huge on the combine numbers, believe it or not. One of the reasons, and, you know, I was talking yesterday to some of the folks here around the complex, is that you'll see some of these guys that have great numbers. I'll give you a great example. Wide receiver Darrell Jones, seventh-round pick for the Giants back in 92, had like 4.23, I believe, 40-yard dash.
4.23?
4.23 was the fastest ever.
Wow.
I think he still might have the record for the fastest 40 in combine history.
Pretty good.
Now, anybody who's followed the Giants for a long time knows that Darrell Jones wound up not being much of a player at all.
Right.
They tried to use him as a kick returner, tried to use him as a wide receiver, which was his position with the Miami Hurricanes, and he was an absolute bust. Now, of course, he was drafted in the seventh round, so, you know, it wasn't like they expected a whole lot. He was a small guy. Anyway, here's the bottom line. If you just look at numbers and you get all infatuated with numbers, anybody who says to you, I've got a receiver for you who runs a 4.23, you're going to want him, right?
Of course.
Okay. Kid couldn't play.
Well, here's the difference, though, and here's why I think the combine can be useful. I think there are some guys, especially maybe that don't play on the highest levels of college football, that play in like one of those middling conferences or something like that, or even a player like Manti Te'o to a certain extent, where they have the production in college. You see him on tape, you know, where he's a good football player. He knows what he's doing. He's got good technique, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe you're not sure if he's a good enough athlete to transfer that to the NFL level. I think that's where the combine comes in handy, because in college you're not playing against the best athletes. In the NFL you're playing against the top 1% of athletes. Maybe in college you're playing against the top 15% of athletes, just to throw out two numbers. And I think the combine can help you figure out a little bit the raw athleticism, which will help you judge whether or not this player can transfer what he's done in college to the pro level.
The only thing that I would say or add to that, John, is this. As I think back over the years, the 30 years or so I've covered the league, and I think about how many guys were, quote, workout warriors, the Mike Mamulas, for example, of the Philadelphia Eagles, guys who significantly raised their stock in the combine and then turned out to be a bust. And then I think about the other way, guys who may have had really bad combines still turned out to be good players because people thought their college career was worthy enough to become good NFL prospects. And I look at that in my memory banks, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, which way tends to be more the truth? And for me, I kind of put more stock in the good college player who's able to translate it into the NFL, and the combine really didn't do enough to flush the guy down the toilet. At least that's kind of how my recollection is. I don't have pure numbers or facts to tell you, but that's kind of how the way I see it.
And it certainly goes both ways. And I'm with
it does.
I'm definitely would judge what a player does in games in college much more important than you would the combine. But for certain positions, like a cornerback, if this guy was a great quarterback in college, he comes out at the combine and runs a 4.5 40, that's a problem. It's tough to play NFL cornerback when you run a 4.5 40.
Well, you know what? It's also very tough to play at a very high level at a very good college program, at a power conference program, if you're going to run a 4.5 40. So, in all honesty, there should be some hints in his bigger games.
You would think.
In college, before he even gets to the combine.
Well, and that's why I brought up Manti Te'o, who I think is a good example of someone that needs to show something at the combine, considering how he played specifically in that national championship game against Alabama, which is the best facsimile of an NFL football team that you'll find at the college level.
And that's a debate now that people have been having for the last month and a half, John. And, you know, I think this. I think Manti Te'o is going to be an okay NFL linebacker. I don't think he's as much of a blue chipper as some people wanted to believe.
First-round pick or not?
I do think he will be.
Do you think he deserves to be?
That's a good question.
That's a no.
I'm not sure that he does. I'm not sure that he does, but I think he will be. I think there's somebody out there in the league who thinks high enough of him and who's going to like his pedigree in terms of football and what he's shown over his career, and they're going to say, you know what? I'm not letting one game ruin it for me. I'm not letting the imaginary girlfriend ruin it for me. I've got six games that I've watched in the last 4 years. This guy is for real. I want him. And I think it's gonna go down that way. Again, I think he's going to be okay. I don't think he's going to be terrible. I don't think he's going to be great. I just don't want to cover any part of this guy because I don't want the hype. And I've said this on my Twitter account. I don't want the media hype that's going to be involved with all the hoopla of what he brings to a locker room. I'm not interested.
You're all about the hype, Paul.
No, I'm not about the hype. I'm about X's and O's.
All right, here we go, folks. 201-939-4513. Combine, draft, Giants, you name it. We'll talk it right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. First guy up. He called in the other day. We did not get to him right away, and he had to go. But now we welcome him back to the show, Eric in North Dakota. Eric, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Eric. What's up?
North Dakota, you said.
Yeah, I said North Dakota.
Yeah, North Dakota. Can I say hi to Roxanne? Personal, Eric, you just did. Yeah, and also good morning to you guys. Yes,
good morning.
Good job.
Thank you.
And my question is concerned, what's going to be the deal with Victor Cruz? Like, it's getting closer to March, and I'm, like, kind of, like, anxious to know, are they going to sign him or what's going on?
Well, John and I both are very much aware of Victor Cruz's situation, and we also are aware of the fact that the Giants want him back. He is a restricted free agent.
And he wants to be back.
He wants to be back. They can slap a tender on him, and quite frankly, he's got no leverage. What is Victor Cruz going to do? Not sign the tender and hold out for a season?
Well,
no.
He could sign elsewhere. Another team might be willing to sign a big skim big money and lose a first-round pick.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's possible.
It's possible, but is not likely. That's not the way business is done in this league. Teams are not real anxious to do that.
It's actually been, 3 years since a restricted free agent got plucked, I think, from a team?
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
Then again, a lot of times, players of Victor Cruz's status aren't often just tendered either. They'll get that long-term extension before he reaches free agency as a restricted free agent.
Yeah. But I think what I'm trying to tell you is, as a restricted free agent, I'd say the odds are very, 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 very good that he will be playing with the Giants in 2013. Whether or not they get that extension done before the season, I honestly don't know the answer to that. But I think you're going to see him opening day wearing blue.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Eric, appreciate the call, man. No problem. And people have mentioned this in the paper here or there, Paul. Odds or chance, if he just get tendered, and he eventually, you know, assuming he signs it, is there a chance that Victor Cruz holds out this year? I've never thought it's in his personality to do that, to be honest with you.
I would be absolutely flabbergasted if Victor Cruz does not put on a uniform opening day. Flabbergasted.
There we go. Flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted.
And the funny thing about it, and I'm not sure if the Giants want to play with fire in this regard, but in terms of their salary cap situation, keeping him at a one-year tender rather than giving him the big money contract this year, considering their lack of resources to bring back other players, maybe bring in some other free agents, that might be the best-case scenario for the Giants, to be totally honest with you.
Well, here's the thing, John. Depending upon how long the deal is and how much the bonus money is, look, I have seen guys before sign these new multi-level contracts, and the base salary in that first year is just ridiculously low.
Yes, it's sure. Because or high, for that matter, depending on how much cap room the team has.
Right. Now, in the Giants' case, you would think if they're going to sign Victor Cruz to a new deal, chances are this first year is going to be like $200,000 base salary. Well,
here's the problem, though. If you do play that game, next year you got to re-sign Akeem Nicks, and you're going to have two big salaries bump up on you in 1 year. That could be a problem.
That is correct. And that is why
and throwing
the Giants,
JPP in 2 years, for that matter.
That's why, from the Giants' perspective, this is a delicate negotiation. As much as they want him here and as much as he wants to come back here, the balance of how that money is spread out and how much of that money is guaranteed in bonus money and you know, workout money and reporting money and sign, like I said, all the different bonuses, that's going to be a very big deal, because you don't want to guarantee the world to an Akeem Nicks who's gone through a number of injuries. But at the same time, you can't look Akeem Nicks in the eye and say, you're my number 1A receiver, or you're my number 1, Cruz is my 1A, but we gave him 80% of his money guaranteed. And right. We don't want to give you 80% of your money guaranteed, because you've had a knee issue, you've had an ankle issue, you've had a hamstring issue, you've had a quad issue. You know, and Nicks is going to say, well, wait a minute. I thought I'm 1 and he's 1A.
Great point.
That's why this thing has become a little sticky. Because whatever you do to Cruz, Nicks is going to say, I want exactly the same or better. And so it's not just negotiating Victor Cruz's worth or value. You also have to worry about the domino effect.
So in other words, Akeem Nicks is leaving cell phone messages on Victor Cruz's cell phone telling him not to take a dime less than he can get. That's basically what he's telling him.
There you go, John.
201-939-4513. Joe in East Rutherford. Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, pal?
How are you doing, guys? Pretty cold over here in Jersey, huh?
Yeah, it's a little chilly.
Oh,
out
come
there.
On. It's a beautiful day. I'm ready to go out and get on that field right now.
No Nikes, Paul. You know, you got the loafers today. What's up with that?
Well, you know, it's Giant Day for me, so I kind of dress up.
Well, my point today that I wanted to make is anywhere they go with a draft, you know, they have to look at the player's proven track record at whatever level they're looking at. And I think that's very important for them to see in a draft. But what about Freeney? What about the chances of bringing Freeney here?
You know, when I got this call about Freeney yesterday, Paul, and he's talked about how he'd like to come back to the Giants, he's actually 2 years older than OC Umanyiora. OC's 31, Freeney's, I think, just turned 33 or 34. But he still has some left as a situational pass rusher. And the way I answered the question is, if Freeney's willing to take a short-term 1 or 2 year deal at reasonable money, $4 or $5 million, the Giants need help at pass rusher. They want to bring him back in that part-time pass rusher OC Umanyiora role. I think it could be a fit, to be quite honest with you. But I'm not sure if they want to delegate that type of money to an older pass rusher on the free agent market.
Yeah, see, I don't think it is a good fit, because I think he's pretty much shot. And I think the move to linebacker last year was not a good thing for him. And I wonder exactly how much he does have left, especially if you're going to consider that I think he's got to be down.
Of course
I don't
he does.
No, I'm talking about Freeney.
Yeah, Freeney will play the 4-3 defensive end with the Giants.
You want him to be down.
Of course.
I understand that. I think he's got to be down also. I suspect that there's going to be somebody else out there who's going to offer him something decent, to where the Giants, you're absolutely right, are not going to be willing to go up into any kind of price range to get him. But I don't necessarily know that he's a fit here either, because at this point in time, you know, if you're the Giants and you believe that OC is going to walk, which I think is going to happen, you know, you look at it, guys like Tracy and Broha and Ojomo, and you're looking at those guys and you're saying, look, we're trying to get younger. We're trying to get cheaper at some of these backup spots anyway, because we desperately need cap room. I don't see them even wanting to entertain a guy like Freeney, no matter how inexpensive he may
become. You also need a better pass rush, though. And the pass rush the last half of last season flat out stunk.
Yeah, it was
not nearly where it had to be. But I think part of that is because of your thin situation at defensive tackle, which, again, had a ripple effect on the defensive ends. I think that if you're the Giants, you really, really, desperately need a bounce-back season out of Justin Tuck.
And Jason Pierre-Paul, for that matter.
And I was getting to him next. And Jason Pierre-Paul.
Those
two guys were
backs?
Not where they need to be.
How about defensive backs?
Well, see, to me, and I've been catching grief on Twitter about this all offseason.
Yeah, me too.
You need a defensive back.
No, you guys aren't getting it, okay? With Hosley and Prince, and Corey Webster will have a bounce back year, I promise you that. If he's able to rejuggle his numbers, Corey Webster will play more like Corey Webster in 2013. Okay? I'm telling you that. Look, let me say this about Corey Webster. The first 3 or 4 years he was here, there's not a soul outside of myself and maybe a few people in the Giants personnel department who back Corey Webster. It was 95% people against Corey Webster, said he couldn't play, he was terrible, he was a bust, he was worthless, he should be cut, he shouldn't be on this team. And there were very few of us who stood up for him and said, no, this guy can play. And look at the career he wound up having, okay? Trust me when I tell you, Corey Webster will bounce back.
You're right.
Have a nice day. Be well.
Appreciate the call. Because he disagrees, you've got to get rid of him, Paul.
No. We have a lot of other calls online. So, but here's the thing, John. The defensive back situation goes hand-in-hand with the pass rush. You and I both know that.
Of course it does.
And they were not up to speed last year along that front four.
Unfortunately, I think they have so many holes elsewhere that they need to fill. Even though I would like to get better in the defensive backfield, I don't think the Giants have the resources to do it.
Well, there are other priorities.
That's what
I'm
saying.
More pressing needs.
Right.
No question.
But you would like to see the secondary play a little better.
I'd like to see them play a little better, but if you assume, and we're going to sit here today and assume that Corey Webster, even though he's got a $7 million base, we're going to assume that he's still going to be on this team.
Oh, he's on the roster, so it's a fair assumption.
Okay. If he's back and Hosley and Prince are back, which obviously they will be, I'm okay with those three corners. I'm okay with Antrell Roll. He's got a $7 million base. Again, he's on the roster today. I'm assuming he's coming back. I'm assuming that restricted free agent Stevie Brown is going to be back. Okay.
Kenny Phillips?
Even before you get to Kenny Phillips, I'm telling you, that collective group that I have right there.
Remember Will Hill, too?
Will Hill? I love Will Hill.
I know.
Big
you
ups
do.
On Will Hill. First time I saw him in rookie minicamp, I told you last year, this guy's making a team. I'm a big fan. I'm good with that collective group right there. I really am. And, you know, here's the thing, John. Again, it all works hand in hand. That Giants pass rush, we know that Jerry Reese, going back to the days of Ernie Accorsi, wanted to build this defense from the front seven back. That's what they want to do here. That's the philosophy of the Giants way. We build from the front seven back. It's about the pass rush. That is what allows everything else to fall into place. That did not live up to billing last year.
Well, how do you rush the passer, though? You stopped the run, and the Giants couldn't stop the run on first and second down.
Well, there you go. Linebackers weren't getting the job done as much as they should have. Defensive tackles were thinner than Kleenex and couldn't get that job done either. And it affected everything.
Well, the problem you have, too, is that right now the Giants have one linebacker on their roster that's actually played a lot in the NFL, and that's Jaquan Williams, who hasn't even been a starter. Right now they're playing like a 4-1 defense. You're going to have to add some linebackers.
Well, no question. No question. You know, because Mark Hersley did not do well in his cameos last year. Let's face it. I mean, big hopes for him. He had a couple of chances last year, and it didn't work.
Show me year.
You know, Marvin Austin to show me year at defensive tackle. Marcus Coon's coming back off knee surgery. You know, they like what they saw from him. They think he's got big ups, but he's coming off a knife. You know, these are issues that have to be answered in a positive fashion before you even think about trying to rebuild that secondary.
201-939-4513. Trev is in Pennsylvania. Trev, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. What's up, Trev?
All right, well, I was going to originally ask about Corey Webster's future, but it seems like you guys hit that pretty well. I want to talk about Terrell Thomas.
Okay.
What do you think the Giants are doing with him now?
I think it's a wait, hold, pray, and if he's good, they'll use him. And if they don't, he signed the veteran minimums contract. If they don't believe he has what it takes in that leg to contribute, they'll let him go.
So are you saying, like, you know, if Corey Webster goes down, if Prince goes down, if anyone goes down, are they going to keep him in defensive back, or are they going to try to push him into safety like they've been talking about?
Well, if you look at the Twitter account for Terrell Thomas, yesterday, I believe it was, he posted a video. He was doing some lateral step movements in his rehab and was really moving very fluidly and quickly, and it was certainly a good sign. I don't know, okay? I don't know because I'm not here every day and he's not here every day to find out where his progress is. But the Giants obviously felt that it was worth a very small gamble to re-sign him and give him a chance to see if he is capable at playing some corner. If he can't, there is always the possibility that he could help out by playing some safety. Remember, you've got Stevie Brown as a restricted free agent, and you've got Antrell Roll making a $7 million base this year. I would think both of those guys are coming back. You have Will Hill into the mix. But there's always room for a potential fourth safety or a swing defensive back. Okay? In this case, for example, Tyler Sash was the Giants' fourth safety last season. Okay? I would believe that Thomas at 85% is a much better football player than Tyler Sash is. So, you know, there would be a spot for him if he can prove that he could stay on the field. You follow?
I mean,
the possibility exists. But again, he's trying to become only the second player in NFL history next to Carolina's Thomas Davis to come back from three ACL surgeries. This is not an easy thing to do by any accounts. What he's trying to do is beat very long odds. He busted my horns on Twitter thanking me for motivating him when I answered somebody and said, you know, there's a very long odds. Well, they are very long odds. He has to know that. The Giants have to know that. But if he can somehow do it, holy smokes, yeah, he is definitely an asset to this team.
Yeah, I've been praying for Terrell Thomas ever since the most recent injury taking him down. He's the only reason that Corey Webster's looked good the past couple years.
Well, you know, go back a couple of seasons ago, he was the defensive MVP of this team.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks, guys.
Hey, appreciate the call, Trev. You just can't depend on him, and that's why it's a flyer the Giants took. You can use him at corner, maybe move him to safety. He's shown a willingness and an ability to support the run game out of that slot position when he's played corner there. So those are all options for the Giants and Terrell Thomas. To me, he's an insurance policy. And if it works out, it works out. If not, that's fine. But even with him there, they're going to have to add some depth in the defensive backfield. Right now they basically have three corners on their contract, more or less. Justin Tryon's a fourth maybe. He might even be unrestricted. So I think they only have three corners on the contract.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to add some depth there one way or the other. Well, Terrell Thomas would be number four.
Yeah. I mean, again, they're going to find out more about him, I guess, at the OTAs, John. I mean,
it might take longer than that.
Well, I think it'll take Albany till you know if he can really play.
Right.
But I think you'll know how his progress is at the OTAs, and they may be able to say, hey, you know what? This still looks like a decent gamble. Or we may be able to get some other bodies in here. I think they'll start thinking one way or the other at OTAs. And then hopefully by training camp, you know, he'll have an answer for them before the season starts.
201-939-4513. Steve's down in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
Hi.
Hey, listen, guys. You know, first of all, I'm just like to say, I don't think we really need to make too many changes defensively. Obviously, we need to probably shore up one other corner position and get some linebackers. But as far as the defensive line, I feel like we have the personnel. We just didn't get it done last year. You know, maybe, you know, having all our safeties back will help. Maybe, you know, even throwing in a couple corner blitzes, a few more corner blitzes would help. You know, as far as getting to the passer. But you know, the main reason I called today, because actually yesterday after I talked to you guys yesterday, my main thing was, you know, I've been thinking about the Victor Cruz, you know, situation a lot, and I love Victor Cruz. I think he's a great player, and I want to sign him. You know, but I do not want to mortgage the house for Victor Cruz or any other receiver at this point. I feel like, you know, Hakeem is definitely our 1A. And, you know, maybe we need to, you know, tender Cruz. And, you know, if anybody, I'd rather have, you know, Hakeem next with a good contract, knowing how he plays with a big contract, as opposed to Cruz right now. I love his play, love what he's done the last couple of years, but I'm just not ready to give him a huge contract, especially if it's going to cost us, you know, in other areas. And I just want to know what you guys think as far as, you know, him still having something to prove. As far as I'm concerned, he still has something to prove. And, you know, playing in New York has been a, you know, a major benefit to his career thus far. He's got his little chunky commercials. He's got his sausage. He's branded, and he's making a lot of other money and can continue to do that. And quite frankly, I hope he doesn't try to hold us hostage under this contract and really, you know, ends up being, you know, willing to do what's best for the team at the end of the day. Because quite frankly, I just don't think we need another receiver with a big contract. I'd rather get Hakeem done next year if he can stay healthy this year. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I'm catching a lot of grief on Twitter about this caller because I believe that Victor Cruz, who has had double digits and drops in each of the last two seasons, does not deserve an elite wide receiver number. I'm sorry. I like him a lot. I think he's a heck of a player. He's a tremendous asset for this team. I'm certainly hoping that they can get things done. But you know what? He does not, until he can clean up those drops. Amani Toomer.
Why'd you use that word, by the way? Enough of this elite stuff, please.
Okay. Super primo. How about that?
Sorry. I'll deal with super primo.
Okay. You know, I need the drop count to be down in the six range.
Okay.
Okay. Not 11 and 12. That doesn't jive for me too well. And so that's a problem for me. All right, that's the pimple still on Victor Cruz's body of work for me. And that's why I can't break the bank for him if I'm the Giants, because there's still a pimple on his resume. And the other thing is, too, quite frankly, you know what? He was very productive this past season, but when Nix went down, when some of the other things weren't working well and the running game was inconsistent, Victor Cruz showed that he was impacted by those things. He was not able to necessarily overcome all of the other factors that started to inhibit his game. And if you're going to be the best of the best, and you're going to want the super primo contract that says, wow, you are really golden, well, you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to cut those drops down, and you've got to be able to still produce at a super-duper high level, regardless of the other things that are breaking down around you. So I'm sorry. Victor Cruz, as good as he is, I cannot salute him with a super primo contract. So I'm with the caller, and I'm with the Giants on this. I think that Nix has proven, despite his injuries, that he is more of a super primo quantity than Victor Cruz.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call, pal. Appreciate it. Sorry we cut you off there. We got only a few minutes left. We got a bunch of calls on the line, Steve. We got to get to them. Call back on Monday. We'll get to you. Here's the problem, though. At least Victor Cruz is on the field. Hakeem Nix can't stay on the field. He misses three or four games a year.
Hakeem Nix wasn't even supposed to be on the field for much of last season.
Well,
went out there anyway.
That's the point. Do you want to give a guy that at age 25 can't stay healthy, hasn't stayed healthy for one entire season, and give him a super primo contract?
And you know what? That's a legitimate question, John, and it's a legitimate criticism against what I'm saying.
Who's better than Cruz in the league? Let me put it that way. What receiver would you rather have than Victor Cruz?
Oh, wow.
Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, fine. I'll give you those three.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about those guys.
Keep
for
going.
Sure.
After that, Roddy White?
Yeah, you can make both of the Falcons guys. Julio
right.
Jones, you
can
make an argument too.
That's fine.
You know?
I'll live with that. He's still top 10 right now.
Do you want to talk about Mike Wallace?
Yeah, I can't put him ahead of Cruz.
You know? Do you want to talk about Bryant?
After half a great year, you can't put him ahead of Victor yet.
You know? I mean,
I think he's probably a top 10 receiver, though, and so was Nix. Around that 10 mark. They're in that zone.
I would tell you this.
Well, Wes Welker, I mean, I put him on the same level as Victor Cruz. I think they're about the same.
If I could say this, Cruz is not a top five.
No, he's not top five. That's fine, though.
Okay, he's not a top five. Is he a top 10? I'd say, yeah, he's probably right around that borderline in the bottom of the top 10.
He's in the neighborhood.
No question. I absolutely agree with that. But if you say to me, I have to go and play a game, and Nix or Cruz, I can only have one. I'll tell you something. I'm probably going to go Hakeem Nix.
If you tell me both guys are 100% healthy, I'll take Hakeem Nix.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
But would I rather have Hakeem Nix for 12 games or Victor Cruz for 16? Because that's what Nix has given you. He's given you 12 or 13 games a season.
Yeah. Boy, John, you make a very strong argument there, and that's one we could probably debate for another 5 hours.
And I bet you they're having the same debate upstairs in the Giants front office, too.
Well,
It's not easy.
Because, let's face it, Nix has more tools. He's got bigger hands, longer wingspan.
Yeah, bigger player.
More height.
Yeah.
Bigger player. Will be able to make catches that are in the box easier than Cruz will.
Well, and that position is the whole key to Kevin Gilbride's offense, having somebody at that X wide receiver position.
So, you know, I'm still going to go with the edge for Nix, but you make a very valid point about how much he's been hurt. There's no question about that.
It's tight. It's a tough decision. 201-939-4513. Back to our nation's capital. Alan's in D.C. Alan, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Alan?
Man, I completely disagree with you guys, man. I'll take Cruz in 16 games over Knicks in 12. You know, he's consistent, you know, the first real season.
So you're okay. Well, hold it now. You're okay with double-digit drops in each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That's consistency for you.
Yeah, but what I'm looking at.
I'm just checking.
What I'm throwing at you is the average catches. He was the first season, 18.7 average yards per catch. His second season, when Knicks went down, and he got, you know, a lot more attention, 12.7 average per catch.
And you like that?
I mean, I understand he drops. He's got, you know, a lot of drops, and he gets targeted a lot in the slot. But what I also look at is, you know, he's very consistent. He got like 19 touchdowns in the first two seasons, and he's a threat. Just ask anybody who plays in NFC East about Victor Cruz.
Okay, we're not dissing Victor Cruz. We're actually splitting hairs here in terms of the quality of player. These guys are both very, very good players. But if you have to differentiate between them, now you got to get the microscope out, John. And you have to say, okay, now what do I see when I look very carefully? And when you see double-digit drops in each of the last two seasons, it's a red flag. Let me ask you something. What did you think about Amani Toomer? How good do you think Amani Toomer was for the Giants during the decade that he played here?
I thought Toomer was a very consistent third down guy.
He was better than that. He was the most productive wide receiver in franchise history.
But he never had the years like the 2 years Victor Cruz had in his last two seasons.
Had several 1,000-yard seasons and had all the Giants receiving records until Cruz went and snapped a couple of his single-season marks. Granted. But it wasn't like Amani didn't have a couple of single seasons that weren't in that neighborhood.
Toomer, an all-time great Giant wide receiver.
No question. And if you look at Amani in a bad year might have 7 or 8 drops in a bad year. And he could routinely catch 50, 60, 70 balls.
Yeah,
Amani never had double-digit drops.
But going from 6 drops to 10, you're talking about 4 more receptions over the course of a year. It's not that significant. It's four catches.
I don't know if you have access to the numbers, John, but you tell me how many guys had double-digit drops in the NFL this year.
No, I understand.
It's not good.
But 3 drops over a 16-game schedule, 4 drops over a 16-game schedule, is that really so significant that it's going to affect your evaluation of a guy that highly?
Depends when they come, but yeah, it's a problem for me. It is. Seriously, it's a problem for me. It's much like on a given Sunday when I say to you, John, look at all the missed tackles.
Mm-hmm.
If I see 6, 7, 8 missed tackles in a game, I can breathe. When I see the Giants have 16 missed tackles in a game, what you see my eyes bug out, right? And I'm coming into your room and I'm saying, John, 16 missed tackles. Unacceptable. Yeah. Cannot happen.
That's true. He does.
Right?
Yes.
It's only a number. And you're going to say to me, well, what, you know, 65 snaps in a game. What's 6 missed tackles? It's a lot. It can't happen.
Right, but these are – okay. I hear what you're saying. Alan, real quick,
yeah,
you got anything else?
Yeah, quick questions. Do you think Antoine Roe will become a captain next year?
I think there's a good chance he'll be a defensive captain.
And also, I'm curious, Paul, who do you think linebackers will help for the draft for our run defense? Who should we look for?
Wow. You know what?
Thanks for the call, Alan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think first thing you got to do is you got to look at free agency, too, because that's coming up first before the draft. And you have to figure out, if you're the Giants now, which way do you want to go there? Do you look at the free agent list, which is not complete yet? In fact, there could be guys cut this week because their agents are talking to teams at the combine right now.
Well, teams are also still trying to get under the cap.
That too. Sure, no question. I mean, we're hearing from Bob Papa today on Sirius that Asamoah is meeting with the Eagles today and may wind up getting cut if he doesn't redo his deal. So there's a lot that's still going to happen between now and the draft in terms of who's available. You just don't even know right now who that pool is going to include. So that's the first thing. I'm reluctant to answer the question until we know what the pool is. After we figure that out, Okay? Then you got to say, okay, now, how much money do you want to delegate to a veteran and say, okay, we're going to spend some money on this position or this position, and then how much are we going to have left over, and then we're going to draft and try to fill up the other holes. That's the game that the Giants have to play right now. I will say this. I'd be very comfortable with Jaquan Williams starting, John, on the weak side.
So would I.
Okay?
I'm good with that.
Okay. Chase Blackburn is a guy who I think the Giants would like to bring back, but I think if they could upgrade that position as a starter, they would try to do so.
I think they like bringing back Chase as a guy. Well, if we have to go with Chase, we'll be fine with it, and that's okay, but let's try to improve if we can.
I believe you used the term insurance policy before about TNT.
Works for me.
Okay, that's how I see them going there too. But now you got to go to the other side, and that's a bit of an issue. Who is the starting strong side linebacker, if you believe that Kiwanuka is going to play down this year?
I've been surprised. A lot of people want to bring back Phillip Rivers. Excuse me. I keep saying Phillip Rivers. Keith Rivers. Excuse me.
Keith Rivers.
Why do I keep doing that?
Keith Rivers falls into that can't stay on the field thing you talked about
before.
Well,
to me, he's another guy. You bring him back and you hope and you pray. There's no reason to think he's going to be healthy for 16 games. He's never been healthy for 16 games his whole career.
Okay. But can you do that if you think that you're going to contend next year? Can you start putting guys on the field who you're crossing your fingers about?
I don't think you can.
Okay, so now if you're Jerry Reese, you have to sit down, look at your board, and say, okay, is there somebody else who we believe can give us 14, 15, 16 games at strong side linebacker, be productive, play at the level we need.
And not break the bank, by the way.
And not cost us too much. Is that guy out there? Is it potentially a rookie? I doubt it. Is there a veteran free agent who might fit that bill? Perhaps. Or, you know what, do we write off last year with Keith Rivers and say, we know enough about what he can do, we will roll the dice and hope he can give us more than five games? That's a question still to be determined, or an answer still to be determined.
And there aren't a lot of like traditional outside linebackers in the draft either. But there are some inside linebackers that the Giants might be able to look at. You know, the Kevin Minters, the Manti Te'os, the Alec Ogletrees with his off-the-field stuff. I get that. I think there's a chance that they could get an inside linebacker in the draft, but there's not a whole lot of guys on the outside, at least in terms of the first round.
Here's the other way they could go too, John, and I think you and I are on the same page here. We both believe that Kiwanuka is going to play down line.
Sure.
Because OC is probably gone.
Makes perfect sense.
But what if, and I've had some people say this to me, whisper to me, maybe the Giants take another defensive end in the draft.
I think they could.
Okay. Well, now, if you do that, guess what? Kiwi's playing strong side linebacker in 2013. And now that's a hole you're not going to worry about plugging, because, you know, Kiwi proved this past season he's durable, if nothing else. He's going to stay on the field.
Yeah, I just wonder if you're taking advantage of his full skill set there. But I guess that's another question for another day. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Len's in Maryland. Len, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you, Len?
Good. You got to pay for production. If you don't pay for production already accrued and projected in the future, the rest of your team looks at you and says, well, I mean, what the heck's going on here? They're not paying for production. You know, he's probably going to get a six-year contract. That's what I'd be. He'd be 33 years old, 34 years old when that contract is up. He's not going to get another one after that.
Yeah, Cruz is what, 27?
Guys, we're looking at he's 27.
Yeah.
We're looking at 60 touchdowns. We're looking at 7,500 to 8,000 yards. I mean, we got to pay this guy. We got to pay this guy. $9, $10 million a year across 6 years. That's just the way it is. We can't let that production go. We're all gonna be learning the salsa in the next 6 years if Victor signs that contract. Paul, a couple of quick questions on some guys. What do you think's going on with Webster and Deal? Do you think they're talking to them about renegotiate is the right word, reworking that contract? Nobody's going to take a salary cut. I mean, it's going to get spread out. I think Webster's going to be on the team, and I think Deal is going to be on the team. But what's going? You know, we're not hearing a lot about that. And if you would talk to me a little bit about Chris Snee. Everybody deserves to decide when they're going to go under the knife. So you know, I don't want to talk about how long he waited or anything like that. Is this guy a candidate for retirement, or are the Giants counting on Chris Snee next year?
All right. Well, let's take these things in reverse order. First of all, I do think Chris Snee will be back. He himself has admitted that he's contemplated at times how much longer he wants to play.
And the reports are out there, by the way, that he just had his hip surgery done.
Correct. Correct. Now, to me, I think that was I don't know this, so let me make this very clear. I don't know this for a fact, but my educated guess is that that was more of a cleanup deal because he had injured the hip way back when at the beginning of the season.
And he played through it.
And played through it.
Right.
That says to me.
And
okay.
Still made the Pro Bowl, by the way.
Yeah, which, you know what? You could argue about the validity of that. I mean, sometimes guys don't necessarily get in who deserve to get in. But
I had a similar conversation with a caller that called in yesterday.
But let's just say this. He played a full season with it, and so that says to me it was not a major deal. It must have been more of a cleanup, and so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that Chris Snee is going to be back and okay in 2013.
How about Dylan Webster?
Good news.
Now, As far as Dylan Webster, Deal's base is over $4 million this year. To me, he is not a starting tackle in this league anymore. I think at best, he is a swing tackle slash backup guard that you really like to have for his versatility on a team, especially a winning team that thinks it's going to contend. But you can't pay that type of player $4-plus million on his base. So he's going to have to do some rejuggling, in my opinion, if he wants to stay on this team. I think if they can make it work, he could still be an asset for the Giants. So that's my take on that. That does not have to happen today. That renegotiation or that redo can happen any time over the course of the next several weeks. They don't need to do that right now at 10:45 on Friday morning, February the 22nd. There's no pressure to get that thing done right now. And remember, Deal, if I'm not mistaken, Deal also had some type of injury issues as well this past year. His knee was an issue. Remember, he got knocked out in that Tampa Bay game, and then I think during the offseason, he had to get some stuff, you know, taken care of there. I don't know specifically what had happened, but I do know that he was going to be looked at very seriously in terms of where his rehab was going to be. So give the Giants some time on him, all right? As far as Corey Webster's concerned. Corey Webster's got a $7 million base. I think we all agree that number is probably not going to work for this team this season. They're going to have to do something with that number. If you're Corey Webster and you've played as long as you have and you're comfortable here, you've won here, you like it here, you're probably going to be willing to redo those numbers. I don't think he really wants to go out on the open market and take a shot at trying to do something better because, quite honestly, after the year he just put up in 2012, I don't think he's going to get a better deal. Okay?
Yeah.
So it behooves him to rework his numbers. And it certainly is of the Giants. As I understand it, I do believe the Giants would like to have him back. And so that's where all that stands.
I think they would like both of them,
but they're going to have to be at the right numbers, you know? Now, the other question you had was about wide receivers
Victor.
And Cruz's money.
Yeah.
Darius Heyward-Bey was the 10th highest paid receiver in the league this past season. And he made, with bonuses and base, $8 million. Okay?
Right.
Now, I'm not a big Heyward-Bey fan.
No, why would you be?
Oh, no, I'm not.
I'm not.
No.
Well,
no way.
He's typical of the overpaid Raiders that we've seen over the last 20 years. Okay?
Absolutely.
But I'm going to tell you right now, we were talking about Victor Cruz, where he is, maybe in the lower 10, right around the 10-ish range in the NFL in terms of receivers. So I'm going to just use that number there, and I'm going to say I'm not giving Victor Cruz more than $8 million a year.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. Here's the problem. I'm going to give you some recent contracts. DeSean Jackson, 5 years, 48 and a half. You're looking at around $10 million a year. Pierre Garçon, 5 years, $42.5 million a year.
Oh, golly.
Victor Cruz is a better player than Pierre Garçon.
I don't think there's any question about that. DeSean Jackson's a tough one, though, because he's done so much in the return game, too.
All right, that's fine. Roddy White, and this is back in 2009, by the way, before Roddy White stepped up to the level that he is now, he signed a six-year, $50 million a year contract, which is $8.5 million a year.
But we both agree Roddy White is a notch above Victor Cruz.
Not in 2009, he wasn't.
No, but I hear what you're saying. See, this is why Jerry Reese has a headache upstairs.
And I think, unfortunately, you know, hate throwing the numbers out there, but he's going to wind up somewhere in that 8 to 10, probably close to the $9 to $10 million range. He just is.
I think the key contract is going to be whatever Dwayne Bowe signs for in Kansas City is going to be somewhere along the line of what Victor is going to sign for in New York.
That is a very good gauge right there. I think the other thing you want to keep in mind, though, if you're the Giants and if you're Victor Cruz, and I know this is hard to do because technically it's nobody's responsibility about what a guy does off the field, but holy smokes, Victor Cruz, with all the endorsements he's made and all the love that he has felt in North Jersey, I mean, when you talk about a hometown discount, and I get the fact that it's not technically the player's responsibility to do such a thing for an organization, but at the same time, if he's really happy here and he really wants to win here, and you know what? If it means $1 million less on the guarantee because it's going to help, you know, get Akeem Nixon here next year to stay. I remember when Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, you know, went into the Giants basically as brothers and said, hey, we want to be here together. And they both kind of were able to work with their deals a little bit. You know, Bradshaw took a little less than he wanted. Jacobs was able to take a pay cut because I want my brother here. You know what? Yeah. Victor Cruz needs to show some brotherly love for the Big Blue.
Paul's demanding a hometown discount.
I'm just saying.
Can I make one more biased, blind loyalty statement?
Real fast,
Len. I'll take 20 seconds.
Go ahead.
I want to take you back to the Super Bowl, the last play of the game. I think it was the last play. Crabtree in the right there in the corner of the end zone.
Super
locked
Bowl?
Up with that
oh, you mean the
back.
Niner game? Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
The Niner game, the Super Bowl.
You're talking Giants, I was thinking.
I'm sorry. He's locked up in the corner of that end zone. Mm-hmm. Here's blind loyalty, guys, and bias. Eli drops the ball in there. 49ers win. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, Len, thanks
a
lot.
You have a great weekend.
He thinks that Eli throws a better corner fade route to Crabtree on that play.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you there was contact by both players. It was a good no call.
No, I disagree. That's got to be a defensive
And nobody's catching the pass.
That's got to be a – now, you were rooting for the Ravens, so I can't take you seriously on that.
No, actually, I wanted both teams to lose.
Well, but I know you did not want Kaepernick to do well. That I know for sure.
And
the last thing you wanted was him throwing a game-winning touchdown pass at the end of that game.
Very much anti-new wave run option quarterback fad. Let's put it that way.
All right, I got a couple more contracts that are going to get you a little concerned.
All right, what do you got?
Marcus Colston, 5 years, $40 million.
Overpaid.
Cruz is better than him.
Overpaid.
Doesn't matter.
No, I know, because his agent's going to be able to use those
million
numbers.
$19 guaranteed in that contract, by the way.
Why?
Marcus Colston.
Why?
Let's see. The French, by the way, Miles Austin, 7 years, $56 million. So that's about $8 million a year for Miles Austin. Victor Cruz, better player than him.
Especially because Austin's had a lot of injury troubles.
Yep. Better player than him. And then the franchise tag for wide receivers comes in around $10 million these days. It's average of the top 10 wide receivers. And if you don't think Cruz is asking for that, you're nuts.
Oh, I'm sure. Again, I'm taking an educated guess here.
Right.
And I think we're allowed to do that.
Of course.
Okay? My educated guess is this. If you listen to the stuff that Victor Cruz told us during the second half of last season about how the numbers seemed to be in the ballpark and the numbers seemed to be in the right area and he thought that they were getting closer, and then there was no conversation at the end of the season.
Yeah, it kind of disappeared.
Right. Okay.
Sidney Rice, 5 years, $41 million. How do you like that one?
Wow. Way overpaid.
How do you like that one?
Anyway, here's my point. My point is this. I suspect that the overall package, I bet you they're not too far apart on the overall package of the numbers. I think where it becomes a problem for the Giants is how much guaranteed money Cruz is after. I think that's where it's becoming a real hassle.
Brown, 5 years, $42 million.
Again, there's a bunch of these guys who are overpaid,
yeah,
John.
But
they're mistakes.
That doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but if you're Jerry Reese, you look at the baseline,
but if you're Victor Cruz, you go, I'm better than this stiff.
Okay, but if you're Jerry Reese, you're saying, why should I pay for somebody else's mistake?
Somebody else is going to be willing to give it to him.
Oh.
If Sidney
Rice. Not as a restricted.
Hold on.
Not as a restricted.
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
If Sidney Rice is getting $8 million plus a year, someone's going to pay Victor Cruz $10 million.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Okay? You want to play Victor Cruz's agent for a second.
Sure.
I'll let you do that. Here's the thing.
He's a cultural icon, Paul. He deserves the money to stay in New York.
Okay. You don't see things my way. I think 8 million a year.
I think 10.
And we're not going 10, we're going 8 million a year. In terms of the guarantee, we're going to give you whatever the top 10 receivers are getting guaranteed, okay? And you know what? Basically, if you don't like it, we're going to slap the first-round tender on you, and you're going to play for, what is it, $2.4 million this year.
Brandon Marshall, 5 for 50 back in 2011.
Okay. You're going to play for $2.4 million this year, and you know what? That's a risk that you just may have to be willing to take because – you know, it's a 16-game schedule. You've been pretty healthy for most of your career, but if you want to go out there and play for 2.4, that's going to help me out because I got a cap problem.
Hey, look, right
so
now,
I'm willing to do that.
There's no question. The Giants hold the cards right now. They have the negotiation advantage as they have his rights as a restricted free agent.
And you could get hurt, and then you know what? That $8 million a year I'm offering you for the next 5 years isn't going to be there.
That's fair. And I think if you're the Giants, that's the game that you play. And if you're Victor Cruz's agent, you have to weigh the risks here. Do you play one more year, hope he stays healthy, and try to cash in next year on an even bigger deal? Or do you take a look and see what happened to Steve Smith? And say,
bingo!
He tried to play out his contract. Just a weird play in practice, diving after a pass, pops his knee, never the same player, throws away $20 million guaranteed in a potential contract.
And if you're the Giants,
it's a risk.
If you're the Giants, you will definitely remember the Steve Smith scenario.
No question.
And furthermore, as I talked before about that hometown discount thing, I don't even want to get into how much money he's making off the field because I don't think that's necessarily relevant as a player. Obviously, the other receivers you talked about don't have the endorsements that Victor Cruz has. But Victor Cruz himself, as a person, has to think about, well, look, how many accolades have I had? How many deals have I had? How much money am I making off the field? And you know what? I'm going to make X number of millions anyway, doing all this other stuff, being a Giant, being part of a winning team. If I can help not cripple this team's cap, and it helps us win more games, and helps us be a contender again, and helps us get to the playoffs again, where I'm going to make 5 catches and a touchdown for 85 yards, and I'm going to get even more endorsements because of those things, well, he's got to start thinking about that.
5 years, $45 million, 17 guaranteed. Do you sign the dotted line right now for the Giants?
I'm waiting a little longer.
Really? You're not going to sign on the dotted line there? Wow, you're a tough negotiator,
I'm
Paul
waiting
Petito.
A little longer.
All right, final.
Remember, there's a domino effect on Hakeem Nicks here.
Right.
You can't ignore that.
Well, the question is, can an NFL team afford to pay two wide receivers combined with bonus and base and all that stuff put together, $19 million, $18 million a year. Can you?
Well, here's what I want to know. Right now, the Atlanta Falcons.
Julio Jones is still on his rookie deal.
Okay, so they can do that.
Yes.
Okay. We knew that the Steelers couldn't do that when they allowed.
Wallace is not going to walk.
Okay, but remember, they had Santonio Holmes.
Right.
Although he's a little bit of a head case, but they got rid of Santonio Holmes because of the cap problem.
Who is the highest paid wide receiver right now, based
right.
on numbers I saw?
Right.
At $11 million, which is crazy if you think about it.
But you know, Hines Ward, you know, they had money problems, and look what happened to their receiving core. It got all broken up. Can it be done? Here's the thing. The old Duper Clayton thing in Miami.
The Patriots have never paid two wide receivers over the years. Are the Eagles going to pay Mack and Sean Jackson? I mean, it's tough. The Cowboys, they're going to have to let Miles Austin go to pay Dez Bryant his big second contract.
Yeah, the old Duper Clayton thing is not going to happen anymore.
It's hard.
Where the two bookend receivers are there for a decade. Those things are not going to happen anymore.
And do the Giants think Ruben Randall can be close to Nick's or Cruz's production on his rookie contract?
Wow, see, you just threw another variable into this conversation that we haven't even addressed.
And Randall can play Nick's position, but he can't play Cruz's position.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, see, it's not easy.
That's a variable here that we haven't even discussed yet, and that is certainly another ingredient in this soup that has to be talked about. Because if Ruben Randall develops as well as the Giants think he could in fact wind up being a mega cheap Hakeem Nicks over the course of the next two or three years.
It might not be the 90 catches, 1,300
doesn't
yards.
Have to be.
But if he gives you 68 catches and 975 yards, is that enough?
Considering he's going to come in under his rookie contract for the next couple of years.
Probably
yes,
is,
it is,
right?
Absolutely it is. So that's – and quite honestly, there's another question which I've heard other people talk about. The Giants had Steve Smith as this outstanding slot receiver. Victor Cruz wound up replacing him as the next great slot receiver. Is it possible that in the Giants system, now they've had two successive terrific slot receivers play in Gilbride's system, is it possible that there's another guy out there waiting to continue that lineage and that maybe it's not as hard to find one of those guys? Victor Cruz was an undrafted free agent, John.
Or time out for a second. We haven't seen Akiem Nicks have a big year without an outstanding slot receiver playing with him either.
So, you know, I mean, look, when the Giants drafted Jarrell Jernigan, they were hoping that he could be that guy. Didn't happen. You know, Sonoris Moss was a guy. Didn't happen.
Correct.
They originally wanted him to be that guy. Didn't happen.
I'll tell you what.
You know?
It's funny. I think both of us kind of thought about things today that we haven't thought about before and got deeper into the situation than probably either of us have in our heads. And it's very, very difficult, the position the Giants are in. It really is.
You really need to dissect this thing more than a high school laboratory with a frog to figure out.
A little Bunsen burner?
I'm telling you. To figure out all the different aspects that have to be considered before you actually make this deal. That's why you said to me before, you know, what was it, 17 mil guaranteed, 5 for 45, or whatever. I think those are the numbers you said.
Sure.
And you said you do it, sign it right now. No, I don't. I don't sign it right now. There are too many things that have to be thought about.
Well, I think under your formula, if you're away, the way you're approaching it is the way the Giants are, I think you're looking at having Victor Cruz on the one-year tender this year. I think that's where you're going to get.
I don't think that.
Because Victor's not signing for $7, $8 million
okay.
a year. In my opinion, I don't think he will.
And I don't think that that it's a long shot. In fact, I think it's a very real possibility that he winds up playing under the one-year tender, because I don't think Victor Cruz is going to hold out. I really don't. I think if it comes down to it and push comes to shove and that's the only way he's going to be able to play this year, I think he'll sign it.
Well, I think he has to, because if he holds out, that hurts his free agent status
next year.
No question.
Now, there will be people who will say he should, but I don't think that he will.
Here's another thing, too, with Cruz, and this is the last thing we'll talk about before we wrap up the show here. We went an hour. We're only supposed to go a half hour, but the conversation is so good. It's okay. It's been great conversation.
John, you had me in.
No,
what do you
I know
expect?
I did. Cruz has also taken some big hits over the middle over the course of this past season specifically. I think we've seen him get lit up more this past year than we've seen him get lit up before. I mean, he's taken some blows to the face, to the head, to the upper body, and he's gone down hard in different situations. You also have to worry about maybe what the shelf life is for a slot wide receiver in the NFL these days, considering those types of big hits they take over the middle. Look at Danny Amendola for the Rams. Granted, he's a smaller guy than Cruz, but he gets beat up so bad he can't play. Wes Welker's had a number of injuries over his career where he's banged up, though he's played through them for the most part.
Yeah.
You got to wonder about the shelf life for somebody that takes those type of hits working the middle of the field like Cruz does.
And I think that plays into the number that you want to guarantee. You know what I mean, John?
Yeah, I do.
And that's, again, folks, I'm not telling you that I'm inside those conversations between Jerry and Cruz's agent, but I really believe that it's the guaranteed money that has become a real problem here. I have to think that somehow, some way, the overall scope of the deal is in the ballpark. I think that's the case. Victor Cruz would not have said the things he said earlier last season.
You wouldn't think.
Had they been so far apart. I think the guaranteed money, though, is a real, real, real sticking point right now where they must be real far apart on the guarantees. And I'll tell you something else, John. It started not this past season, but the playoff game in San Francisco when the Giants were en route to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Remember, the Niners de-cleated Cruz in that game. He took a shot at, bless you, Brian. I forget who it was who hit him. I'm sorry. Folks, we need to say goodbye to you, by the way.
That'll happen at the end of the show.
Okay.
Finish your point.
But anyway, he was de-cleated in San Francisco. And I remember going into that game, one of the things that people said had to happen for the Giants to be stopped was Victor Cruz needed to be battered. He needed to be beat on. That's when I first started hearing that teams, okay, now part of the plan here to stop the Giants is beat the living daylights out of Victor Cruz.
Look at that late dirty hit he took against the Steelers this year.
But
Ryan,
it started.
Was that Ryan Clark that got
yes,
him in that game?
But it started in the Niner playoff game.
No question.
That's when it started.
Yep.
And they went after him
like bees on a hive. And, I mean, they really went after him and tried to stick it to him that day hard. And that's when it all started. And all throughout the course of last season, we saw teams really give him the business whenever they possibly could. And I think you make a very good point, because Victor Cruz, for the most part, has stayed pretty healthy, but he has taken a bunch of licks. And, yeah, I do think that is also something Jerry Reese has to think about when he starts guaranteeing numbers. It's like, well, wait a minute. The teams are going to keep pounding on him. And why? Quite frankly, why wouldn't you?
Of course.
If you're the opponent.
It's legal. It's not like no one's encouraging illegal hits here.
We're not doing that. What we're saying is he's getting the business. He's feeling it.
If you're going to be a 5'11 wide receiver that weighs 190 pounds, you're going to go over the middle, guess what? You're going to pay for
it. And Cruz told us last summer in Albany, John, and you remember this. I'm sure you were there that day when he said, look, I got stronger.
Unfortunately, I was in Albany every day, Paul.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Thank God for that, John, because I didn't have to be. But he got stronger. He had said to us he put on a few pounds, did put on a little bit of muscle,
right,
because he knew after the Niner playoff game he was going to start getting targeted and he was going to start getting more hits, especially if he's going to go over the middle. And so he put on a few pounds. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not so sure, and I don't want to open up a can of worms here, but I'm not so sure that maybe his yards per catch wasn't just a product of Akiem Nicks not being there. I'm not so sure that Victor Cruz didn't actually lose a fraction of his speed last season. How many times did we see him bust off 40, 50, 60, 70-yard plays the year before? He wasn't doing it last year.
When you're worried about getting hit, you're a little slower out of your cuts. You don't run with the same type of reckless abandon. And that's just natural. I mean, he probably doesn't even know that he's doing it. It's just instinctual.
And to be fair, again, I'm going with a microscope here.
Right.
As I'm going, trying to pick apart the guy's game.
You know how Scott Boras comes out with the books for his clients and why you should give him all this money? You
right.
need to do, like, the counteroffer book.
Well, yeah. Because you have to try to be smart about it, John.
Right.
And I wonder if the fans, as they sit back and they look at Victor Cruz, they're still not having the visions of all those 70-yard touchdown catches that he made 2 years ago. This past year, we didn't see those, John. We didn't see those, be fair.
Granted, he had a historic season, too, 2 years ago. It's extremely difficult to put one of those seasons together, let alone repeat them.
I get it. But are some of those catches coming back in 2013,
right,
especially if Akiem Nicks is back? Or are those gone?
Final question. I'm going to get my time machine and go to 2014.
2014, that's 2 years from
that's
now.
That's not this season, the season after that.
Right.
Opening day, 2014. Mm-hmm. For our sakes, hopefully a Thursday night game opening night, because that means the Giants once again win the Super Bowl. But looking ahead.
Right.
That first game of the 2014 season.
Okay.
Are Victor Cruz and Akiem Nicks both starting at wide receiver for the Giants? I'm not going to tell you to tell me which one. Though you can if you want, if you want to be brave. But I want you to go on the record right now. I want you to give me your prediction. Will both those receivers be starting for the Giants the first game of 2014? And if you want to tell me which one, if not both, I'll take that prediction as well.
My answer is I hope so.
No.
My gut tells me no.
Okay. That's fair. You waffled a little bit, but that's okay. I'll look
I'm
at
just
that.
Telling you what I want.
So Dottino says
I
no.
I want it to be. Don't think it will be.
By choice or by necessity because of the salary cap?
More by necessity.
I would think the same thing.
Not by choice. I don't think either one of those guys is going to get hurt so badly this year that they're not going to be wanted.
Well, hopefully not.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you right now, whether it's Nicks or Cruz, I'm going to say Cruz plays for the tender this year. Okay, that's what I think is going to happen.
And the Giants make a tough decision in 2013.
And now in 2013.
2014, excuse me.
Right, going into the 2014 opening day, now it's like, okay, now we'd love to have both of these guys back, but at least one of them is going to get bowled over with the keys to Fort Knox from some other NFL team.
And quite frankly, Reuben Randall's performance this year is going to have a lot to do with that.
No question about that. And I think Reuben Randall has the potential to be really good. So at that point, I think you kind of know the numbers are going to dictate one of them is going to have to go.
And we just freaked out Giant fans all across the nation.
Well, you asked.
I know. It's my fault. It's my fault. I take full blame for
it. But again, let's make it very clear. We're not in Jerry Reese's office upstairs, and we do not have a tap on his telephone.
This is simply us looking ahead and guessing to a certain extent. They're educated guesses, but it's just us guessing based on how the NFL works with the salary cap, the tough choice that the Giants got.
I mean, you know, we're all assuming, again, we're assuming that the guys are healthy. You brought up Steve Smith's name before, and Jesus, John, the last thing in the world I want to see for either one of these guys is that they go down.
Holy on a freak
smokes.
Play in practice.
I
no
mean,
contact.
No. And forget David Tyree, too. Yeah. Remember him before?
Yeah.
Same thing. In the weight room. Torn meniscus. Boom. And that was pretty much his career. So, I mean, you just never know. And that's part of the reasons why, and this is another story for another time, I'm not a big fan of the mega guarantees in the contracts.
Well, just imagine if, remember, the Giants wanted Sean Rogers here. What, 6 years ago for that monster contract? Or at least that was the report that was out there.
Right.
So, good thing that didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very, it's very difficult for me to watch the evolution of the NFL from 30 years ago when I first started to cover it to now. I will only relay one quick story for you, John. I know we got to run. I'll never forget Steve DiAsi, former Dallas linebacker who then came to the Giants. Long snapper, played also for Parcells with the Jets and the Patriots. I'll never forget when Steve DiAsi, his contract was up, and I believe this was after the 90 season when they won the Super Bowl. I don't quote me on the year. The point was, he was a veteran who had been around a while, and he had made some decent money commensurate to the type of player that he was.
Right.
And he knew he was not a Pro Bowl linebacker. He understood that. He had played a lot of snaps. He and Gary Reasons had split time. But he had played a lot of snaps, and he was a very valuable long snapper. But he was not going to get Pro Bowl kind of money.
Also owns a good steakhouse, by the way, up in, like, Massachusetts.
So I'm told.
Yes.
So anyway, the point is, DiAsi said, he told me on the side, he goes, look, he goes, I'm worried. I said, what's up? He said, well, I think with the salary cap stuff that's in effect, okay, I'm telling you, I don't want the kind of money that they're giving me. I actually don't want my salary because I'm afraid I'm going to get cut. This contract is going to get me cut. He said, I went upstairs and I told them, I'm not happy with my contract because it's going to get me cut.
That's funny.
He knew. He knew. And wouldn't you know, he lasted, I believe, that season. And the following season, he was cut because, you know what? His contract was too pricey for what they deemed his snap value to be worth. And he was a player who was also a veteran player who had too many years under his belt to where it's like, okay.
By rule, you have to pay him a certain amount because the veteran's
you get a problem.
Right.
And so I'll never forget that. Steve DiAsi showing the foresight and the intelligence as a player, realizing that, hey, you know what? This salary cap thing could hurt me. This salary cap thing could get me cut. My contract and my numbers are not necessarily a good thing. I'll never forget that conversation, and that told me a lot about where he was at as a player and as a person, and I don't think enough of players in the locker room think about things like that.
Excellent chat, Paul. Good job.
All right, John. Good
and
to be with
you. And we should say farewell to Mr. Mortensen. We did say goodbye to Melroy a couple weeks ago. He moved on to NHL.
Yeah.
Mr. Mortensen's moving on to Major League Baseball. Our Julia Lavellos does a great job as our production coordinator, moving on to Madison Square Garden upstairs. This is her final day here in the production department. She does an excellent job. Mortensen's done a great job filling in here, does all our production stuff, that gets all those great highlights on for
Do
the
you see
B-roll
a pattern
for
here?
Our shows. Everyone's trying to get the hell away from me.
Not only are they trying to get away from you, they're also leaving football.
You're right.
They're going to other sports. They're so desperate to run from
basketball,
you.
Basketball, hockey, and Major League Baseball. You're right. I'm like the plague. I send people running for the hills.
And I've heard.
I might as well be like a Walking Dead zombie.
There are rumors.
Seriously.
There are rumors that Nile Shaw and Michael Eisen are going to join the WWE. they are so anxious to run away from you, okay, that they're looking at Nile wants to become a manager, and Mike wants to become an official, a referee.
I could see Eisen with that. Eisen could be a good referee, actually. I think that would actually work pretty well. He knows all the rules. I think that would work. Now, here's the good thing. You have such a passion for the Giants. I could literally chop off your left leg, and you wouldn't go anywhere. And you know it's true.
30-plus years, John. Going on 31. You know? I'm going on 31 years this fall, and I don't see myself going anywhere.
Anyway, best of luck to Melroy. Best of luck to Mr. Mortensen. Excellent work. Best of luck to Julie upstairs. Excellent work as well, Paul.
No question. I suck in all those things.
Fun time today.
Yes, it was,
we need to do this more often.
I'm always around.
We like that. All right. Paul, thanks a lot. And, again, good luck to all the guys that are moving on. We'll see you on Monday for Big Blue Kickoff Live at 10 o'clock. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.